welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and start out in a couple passages of Scripture. It's an Old Testament, New Testament. I'm just putting them on top of each other, but I think you'll see a theme come out here. And this is in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 13:19. This is shortly before, you know, the Hebrew children, they've been wandering in the desert for 40 years, and they're about to go in to take their promised land. But he gives them this word. He said, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." All right, so we see this in the Old Testament, that there is a choice of life that they have. In the New Testament, we see this theme of life come through Jesus, where he says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." We see this theme, Old Testament, New Testament, regarding life. And of course, probably the foundational truth of life as we think of as believers is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, you know, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That he sent his only begotten son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. That whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And so that first idea of life in Christianity is the fact that, man, when I'm receiving Jesus Christ, I'm receiving eternal life in my heart, in my spirit. That is the promise of living forever and ever and ever. It's the best gift you could ever receive, is the gift of eternal life. Because, you know, whatever gift you've got that isn't eternal life, you know, you can only enjoy it for so long. Eternal life is forever. It is, you know, beyond this time. You know, the Apostle Paul says, "The sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us." So we think of life as believers. That is the first life that there is. It is the gift of eternal life that goes on and on and on. And I'm so grateful today that I've got that assurance, and that's the assurance that we have in Jesus. John says, "He who has the Son has life." In other words, eternal life isn't something you get after you die. It's something you get when you believe on Jesus. And that life is in you now, and that life outlives this body. And it's got to go somewhere when the body dies, and it goes to be with Jesus, all right? It's a real experience in God that makes you a brand new person, okay? That's our kind of our foundational thought of life and eternal life. But there is also a life that is a life that we are living and enjoying right now. And it's based on, you can see, the choices that we make. And that's what we're really going to be delving into this morning, choosing life, okay? Every day we have choices before us, trajectories of thought that can take us to a dark place or to a good place. It could be relationships. It could be just things that we choose to enjoy, things that we, you know, choose to watch or not watch, different things like that. We've got choices that lead to directionally lead to life, that lead to death. And what God said is, "I set before you life and death. Choose life." And this morning, I just want us to be aware of our life and the choices that we have every day and the power that we have to choose life. Because sometimes we can feel like life is just happening to me and, you know, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And yeah, we live in a world, things happen, no doubt about it, but we also live in a world that we can make choices, and we can make choices for life, and we can go on a trajectory on purpose and enjoy a life in God. And this morning, I want to take a look at that and what that looks like for us as believers as we decide to choose life. So when we're talking about choosing life, there's really just two aspects I want to look at that this morning. And the first one is, we look in the Word of God, we see as it relates to life, is there is an investing in life. In other words, there's something that I'm going to intentionally do as I enjoy the life of God. Galatians 6:8 puts it this way, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." If you plant the good seeds, and this is the Passion says, if you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you'll reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And then here are the fruits of the Spirit that we see, you know, brought out in Galatians 5. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, you'll notice this is fruit of the Spirit. There's a manifestation of these beautiful attributes in our life. The love, the joy, the peace. You'll notice this is not circumstantial. This is not a reflection of, oh, everything's just going right. So now I got peace, and now I got patience, and now I got kindness, because, you know, this has nothing to do with the circumstances of life. This has to do with fruit, spiritual fruit, that is just manifested in our life in the middle of any circumstance. You can just have love, joy, peace, patience. This is, like we were talking about last week, this is one of the ways we shine. This is one of the ways that we just, like, we make a noticeable difference. Jesus said, they will see your good fruit, you know, the fruit of your works, your life, and they'll glorify the Father who's in heaven. There's something supernatural about our life that we experience right here. And we see that it is the fruit of this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, this is powerful. And as we look at this, and again, set before us life, death, blessing, cursing, choosing life, we see that the choice starts with what we decide to sow. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, this is very important as we're being intentional about this, because sometimes our flesh can play tricks on us, all right? We sow to the flesh. If we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption, all right? Let me just put it this way. You reap according to what you sow. You do not reap according to what you get caught sowing. Just because you sow to the flesh and don't get caught does not mean that you will not of the flesh reap corruption. In other words, the corruption of the flesh is not the punishment for getting caught. I'm just talking about us as human beings and the way we think and reason and, you know, all that kind of stuff sometimes. But you reap according to what you sow. In other words, you sow to the flesh, I don't care whether anybody knows it or not, you're going to have to fight a dark place. Whether anybody knows it or not, you're going to be fighting stuff because you're drawing things. It draws stuff when you're going in a direction you shouldn't go. It will mess with your mind again, whether anybody knows about it or not. And this is where, when we begin to get serious about being honest, this is not about looking good or being religious and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. No, this is about real progress. This is about choosing life. And there are some heart decisions that we got to come down to when we get serious about trying to get out of some dark places. We got to get serious about choosing life. I'm not getting away with anything here. And not only am I not getting away with anything, but the good news is I can be intentional and sow to the Spirit and begin to reap some things. Reap love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. I'll tell you what, when you're walking in some places and you're dealing with some unforgiveness things or bitterness things, and it's frustrating, and all of a sudden you get a revelation of God's amazing love for you, man, it'll secure you in a way that all of a sudden the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. There's a fruit of the Spirit that'll answer things in a way that you wouldn't think up here. He'll answer things in the Spirit. You of the Spirit reap life. You reap something inside that produces these internal things, the love and the joy and the peace. And I'm going to just kind of say this too. When you're sowing to the flesh, all right, we'll kind of go forward one more, kind of take a look at what we mean by sowing to the Spirit. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's Colossians. And then Romans 8 kind of continues that thought a little bit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life in peace. It's life in peace to be spiritually minded. So as we get choices between life and death, we have opportunities to choose what we're going to set our mind on. Setting our mind on is like planting those seeds. You're choosing something. It's amazing to me how we work as human beings. I can be thinking of something really technical, and I could see an old movie come on that I've liked for years, and I'll begin to watch part of it, and I get sucked into it, and I'm just there emotionally, mentally. And it's, oh, this is so amazing, awesome. But, you know, just a few minutes before, I'm just thinking something technical. When we set our mind on we adapt. You know, it's amazing. You set your mind on something, and all of a sudden, your mind will begin to grow things, whatever it is. And it begins to involve your emotions are involved in that. And so whatever it is, there's nothing, you know, so amazing of the fact that you're growing. It's the decision before, what am I going to set my mind on? And being aware that what I set my mind on, it's going to begin to grow stuff, you know? So you're aware of that. So when you're setting your mind on the things of the Spirit, that's why he says there in Romans 8:5, you know, you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you're going to grow flesh stuff. And the works of the flesh is there in Galatians 5, you know, where you can see all the laundry list of what the flesh looks like. And all of a sudden, you begin to get aware of, I got to set my mind on things above. Now, I have related before in the past. I grew up on a strawberry farm, and my brother and I would ride our bikes back and forth there every day, and we would weed and do all the stuff to grow strawberries and different things like that. But one of the big things that would happen in the spring was me and my dad, it seemed like me and my dad were the planters. And so we would every spring we'd have he'd be on the spade and he would, you know, I'd be on the plant and we'd be planting, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of strawberry plants. And of course, we're planting these plants with the idea that we're going to have beautiful, red, delicious strawberries. But when you're planting those plants and you look at them, they're not anything to look at. In fact, there's more root system than there is foliage when you're planting these little plants. And they look ugly. But you know that you're just going to plant them by faith. And then over time, they grow out, they get the blossoms, they get the berries. But you're doing something that starts out, you know, not glorious, not pretty. You're doing it by faith. We're planting those plants by faith, knowing strawberries are going to come. And I say that to say this too, because when you decide, you know, I want to get out of this dark place. I want to begin that trajectory of life. I want to get into the bright place, you know, to where I can see things and know things. And, you know, when you begin that, it's not going to be pretty necessarily the first day. You are by faith going to begin to think about, set your mind on things above. And you just, like I said, we never had it where we planted those plants and by the end of the day we had strawberries. Never happened. It's something where we had to wait weeks and weeks and weeks for that to happen. And there is a growing process. Just saying that to say this. There's a growing process. But when you begin to get serious, you know, about you begin to get serious about reaping life and beginning to choose life, this is kind of the next step. And this is real high level. This is kind of theory. This is spiritual theory, but it's the Word of God. But Door of Life Christian Church is where faith meets real life. So we're going to take this theory of things above and really bring it down to what we mean by that. Because in walking with the Lord, this means a lot of different things. Sometimes setting your mind on things above is going to be something that the Holy Spirit's already been dealing with you about. All right? The Holy Spirit could be, and I'm just throwing it out there, but the Holy Spirit could be dealing with you about, you know, forgiveness or a certain passage of Scripture that keeps coming back or something that He's stirring in your heart. It's enough to begin to explore, enough to begin to say, okay, Lord, what do you say about that in your word? It could be an area, you know, when you look at Timothy, he gives us six Bible topics. He says, you know, flee all that junk. He said, but pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. These are just like topics. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to bring a topic to your heart. Sometimes it could be a book that you might have bought and you never read yet. So you can tell I'm giving you some real-life examples in my own life that the Holy Spirit guides you to get. Sometimes it can just be, a certain book of the Bible. What the setting your mind on things above can be a lot of different things. And I don't want you to just get one-dimensional about what that means to set your mind on things above. It can be worshiping. It could be listening to, worshiping the Lord. What are you doing? These are just fellowshipping with somebody. Man, this person's on my heart to talk to them. You pick up the phone, call them, and begin to fellowship, talk. Listen to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit be part of guiding what this means to set your mind on things above. Because God can begin to show you what that means. And the cool thing about this is, too, is it's true. The old song that we would sing, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. When you begin to set your mind on things above and you just get one little thing from the Spirit of God and it's like, wow, that's good. Wow, that's Him. Yeah. I want another one. I want something else. I want to keep going. It's just amazing how the Holy Spirit will do it. It's not a dead religious thing. It is something that is supernatural, and yet it takes faith to take that plant and put it in the ground. It's going to take faith to pick up that book. You know, I've said in my office, I got two chairs. I got my work chair and I got my devotion chair. They're just a foot or two apart, and yet to get from the work chair sometime to the devotion chair, it's like, ugh. You know, why? Because there's so many things in your head to be able to get over into your heart. It's a step of faith. It's not a big step, and yet it's something that we're doing by faith. And so as we're talking about choosing to invest in life, just to realize that, man, this is going to be, it's going to be something that you're going to do intentional, something that you do by faith. Also, the scripture says in Galatians, I say then walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Right? We've got that battle going on inside. Romans kind of continues that thought again here. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, for if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Now, this is where we're kind of, you know, where the rubber meets the road as far as getting change and spiritual traction and getting from that place of darkness into light. This is where we're going to begin to make some choices. Because we see that as you're walking in the Spirit, and what is walking in the Spirit? It's just setting your mind on things above. It's praying. It's getting your heart focused toward God and letting the Holy Spirit do what He does and show you things and give you strength and all that stuff. But you see that there's that battle that's going on. The flesh has the word lust simply means strong desire. The flesh has strong desire against the things of the Spirit. The Spirit has strong desire against the things of your flesh. Now, this is another interesting thing we as human beings can experience. Maybe you've known the Lord for a long time, and you can remember times in your life where you're just so strong in Him, and everything's just so real and wow. And other times, when it's like you can be strong in the Lord, or you can be weak, where spiritual things just aren't real. And all of a sudden, the flesh begins to argue against trusting God because this happened, that happened, and all that. This is the battle that we all deal with. And so it's a process where we walk in the Spirit and we keep walking in the Spirit. We keep declaring the Word of God and doing what that scripture in Romans 8:12 says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. This is a really powerful truth. And this is where, unless we start with, sowing to the Spirit, setting our mind on things above, this is where we begin to realize, hey, I don't have to do what my body wants me to do. I don't have to. But it starts with getting the Word of God on the inside of me and realizing, no, there is freedom. God has a way that's different. So if, your sinful nature urges you to do something that you know is wrong in the Word of God, man, this is where the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come into play. A lot of times when we're in this inflection point, it's like, I shouldn't do it, but I can't help it. I know I shouldn't think that, but I can't help it. I know I should, but I can't help it. And that's why Jesus sent the helper, to help us to think right, to help us to do what we can't do in our own strength. So when we begin to walk in the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit begins to help us to do what we're supposed to do. This can't just be a finger-wagging religion. You know you shouldn't do that. No, it's going to be something that, what does the Word of God say? There's power in that Word. And so even as we're beginning to walk free from some of this stuff, I like to think of it this way, because there is, even as you're preaching this, there's such a beautiful, intimate relationship that you have with God that is part of this process. When you're not, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Like I've said, when I wake up in the morning, I'll say, hello, physical body. I love you. I will nourish you. I will cherish you, but I don't trust you. Okay? Everything you say can and will be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm offering you up as a living sacrifice. You're going to be an instrument of righteousness today. I got to talk to myself and realize that just because I feel it doesn't mean that's me. It's not me. It's an urge, but I have no, it's like if the phone's ringing, I have no obligation to pick up that call. When the flesh calls, I have no obligation to have to answer it. I don't. And to realize that, and how do I realize that? I realize it by the Word of God, you know? I realize that when bitterness is calling, the Word of God says, you know, if you have a, you know, be kind, tender-hearted, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. All right? So the phone is ringing, but the Word is saying, nope, you don't have to answer that. You have no obligation to your flesh. You have no obligation to have to answer it. This is where you're choosing life. You're choosing to not answer some things. You're putting some things off. And there is going to be, you'll see that there is a life. You know, if you, through the power of the Spirit, put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. So in the process of choosing life, you're also indirectly choosing death. You're choosing to not answer some things. And this is where it's different for different people. And, you know, Jesus put it this way. He said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but afterward they can't do anything. You know, fear him who has the power to destroy the body and can put the spirit in hell. He's the ultimate one. But don't just fear those who can kill the body. It's quite a statement. That's a very mature place in terms of being free and, you know, not even worrying about your body. And we see the Apostle Paul, that's where he got. He said, man, in Jerusalem, persecutions and afflictions await me. He said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. That's grown-up talk. That's grown-up spiritual talk. When you talk that way, it's like, if you come here, we're going to get you. I'm coming there, and I am going to preach the gospel to you anyway, and I don't care. Man, all right, that's somebody who's dead to self. That's somebody who's matured, all right? But we don't start out here, do we? We don't start out with that kind of swag spiritually, because you're so dead to self, you're just doing what God's called you to do. No, we start out over here. Lord, I am dead to the fourth cinnamon roll, all right? I will not eat more than 3 cinnamon rolls in a day, I promise. That fourth one is dead to me, all right? We're starting out where we're at, and we're just saying, that's where I'm at, and I'm just telling you what, don't even try to bring the fourth one around. It won't even get a chance. You know, and then after a while, praise God, you're free from that fourth cinnamon roll as you're just on the Word of God. And, you know, pretty soon it's like, I'll tell you what, I am dead to the third cinnamon roll. That's it. You can put as many cinnamon rolls as you want in front of me. I just see 2, all right? I'm free from that third cinnamon roll, okay? What am I talking about? I'm talking about some of these things as we're talking about them. They're very personal to you. They're wherever you're at. You know what progress is for you. You know where you've gone, and you don't want to go there anymore. And this is where we've got to let the Holy Ghost in some of these areas too, and just say, hey, all right, here we go. I'm going to walk in the power of the Spirit, Father God, and sometimes it's going to be certain things that you're going to, you know, it's not even so much where God will say, don't watch that anymore. He'll say, start watching this instead. You know, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not about not doing the bad. He doesn't just say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, walk in the Spirit. In other words, your attention, your appetites, your hunger, your purpose, it's redirected toward God. And all of a sudden, you begin to die to those things. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. But then you got to be careful. You're not going to get into pride either. It's not like, yeah, I remember when I used to eat cinnamon rolls. You have a problem with that? Yeah. Human beings, we can get flaky, right? But I'll tell you, this is where we say, praise God, everything that God delivers us from, it's step by step. And we're going to, you know, realize that it's just a step-by-step process. But this is where it is beautiful because it gets into your relationship with God. And as we're doing our due diligence, this is what we're talking about, planting that word in us and then really kind of cultivating that word, protecting that. This is kind of the weeds of the flesh are trying to choke out the word and distract you, and that's not true, that's not for today, or whatever. And I'm saying, nope, I'm holding on. I'm not answering that sinful phone call. I'm protecting and I'm maintaining this. Something beautiful begins to happen then too. Jesus puts it this way, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day while he's asleep or awake. The seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces crops of its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. Praise God. In other words, he's doing what he knows to do, his due diligence, but he doesn't make it grow. Paul puts it this way as it relates to being a minister of the word. He said, I planted the seeds in your heart, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is God who makes the seed grow. In other words, as I'm going through my due diligence here and by faith setting my mind, putting that plant in the ground and putting that word in my heart and protecting it and maintaining it and standing up for it, something else is happening that I have nothing to do with. There's a supernatural. This is where revelation comes. This is where you begin to see things. Like we said even before during worship, you are doing some things. You are doing some spiritual exercise in worship. You are setting your mind on things above. You are beginning to declare some things. You are worshiping God. And there are some things that God by the Spirit puts into your heart. But then there's another part when that seed is in your heart is he does something to make it grow. Like I said, I've planted thousands of strawberry plants in my life, but I've never made one grow. All I could do is plant it. All I could do is water it. All I could do is weed it, but I couldn't make it grow. And so this is where, too, when we're talking about choosing life, we got to realize that there's a supernatural element in this that's not us. We're just simply maintaining an environment for God to do something and to produce growth, revelation. It could be strength. It could be healing. It could be, you know, grace, favor, whatever. There can be a manifestation, love, joy, peace. I mean, I've had that too where, you know, let's take an area of forgiveness and love, all right, where it's like, okay, I know the Bible says forgive, right, and I'm sticking with the word. I'm not going to get sucked into some victim complex and go off into a dark place. I'm staying with the word of God, and I'm going to let all bitterness, wrath, and anger and clamor, I'm maintaining that. And I was just like, I was walking around. I mean, it was just kind of walking in prayer, and all of a sudden, like I said, I was just smiling. And I'm going, Lord, why am I smiling? It's just like, I'm smiling. I don't even quite know why I'm smiling. It's like, I'm not happy about something that's happening, but there's just a joy in me. And he said, that's just the witness of my spirit. Your heart's clear and free from all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking. There's a joy that's in there. See, when we let corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, we grieve the Holy Spirit. But when we get all that junk out of us, there's a joy of the Holy Ghost. But the cool thing was for me, just as an example, I wasn't planning it. It was just like there was a witness of joy. And when I experienced the witness of joy, all of a sudden my theology about forgiveness changed a little bit. Not that the theology changed, but my revelation about the theology got deeper. And it's like, wow, this is really true. I was just kind of planting it by faith, you know, and watering it and keeping it and protecting it and saying, no, this is true. I'm not. And all of a sudden you experience the joy of the Lord. It's like, wow, all right, Jesus was absolutely right. He said, my joy I leave with you, that your joy may be full. There's a joy of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever seen a little kid just belly laugh and giggle? What do? You belly laugh and go. You can't help it. You're just going to laugh and giggle right along with him. Well, when you obey the Lord and you do what's right, there's a joy of the Holy Ghost that makes your joy full. It's like, wow, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a fruit of the Spirit. It's joy. It's one fruit of the Spirit. But how does it work in real life? There are the quiet, intimate manifestations of the Spirit as you're just faithful to do this stuff. There's nothing new here, probably, for most of you. What does the Word of God say? Protecting it, but realizing that there's a divine element where, as we're doing that, God's going to manifest. God will manifest love that you didn't, you know, experience before. He'll manifest the joy. He'll manifest the peace. And it's like, man, shouldn't I be upset? I'm not. Yeah, well, you know what? You're sowing and you're reaping of the Spirit life. And that life, in this case, is just manifesting in the form of peace or joy or love or self-control. It's like, man, that thing had me for years, and I'm just walking. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, it's like I'd do it before I even thought of it. Now it's like I can see it coming down the road. There's a spirit of self-control. Praise God, a manifestation. Some of these are things that's the supernatural element that you experience personally as you're walking with God. And I'm just going to close this section with that final scripture. I like the psalm. I refer to it affectionately as a Psalm 1 guy. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So you can see here, and when I think of the Psalm 1 guy, I don't think of the Psalm 1 guy starting out like this. I think of the Psalm 1 guy bunking his head against the counsel of the ungodly a few times. You know, and then going to the Word. And then, you know, the path of the sinner. What is the path of the sinner? The path of the sinner is all the kind of escapes that we can just have to distract, you know, from whatever is going on, not to even confront it, you know. So there's all kinds of those alternatives, too, the things of the flesh and the, you could say, addiction stuff. Or the seed of the scornful. And this is where it gets into the kind of that bitter and hatred and all that kind of critical spirit. So there's kind of three, you know, demonic areas that in general that we deal with. That counsel of the ungodly, poor you, path of the sinner, that's addiction stuff, and then the scornful, where it's just a kind of a criticalness. That we're all, and like I said, I think the Psalm 1 guy hits these paths and then, oh, thank God, you know, have mercy on me, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, seed of the scornful. Oh, yeah, that's right. God forgave me the $1 million debt. Okay, I'm going to forgive even as. And at some point, there's an argument that's going on here with the Psalm 1 guy. And he just decides, all these things really are, they all have something in common. Although they're very different, they all have something very much in common. They're trying to distract me from the law of the Lord. And he comes to a conclusion that he's not going to let ungodly counsel, flesh stuff, critical bitterness stuff, distract him from delighting in the law of the Lord. And when he begins to do that, meditates day and night, he gets stable. He gets strengthened. He becomes like that tree planted. He brings forth fruit. His leaf doesn't wither. He's not trying to prosper. He's just delighting in the law of the Lord, and whatever he does prospers. You know, it's like he wants to love God, to please God, and there's just a natural flow there. It's like what the proverb writer said too. Man, blessed is the man who finds wisdom and gains understanding. You know, riches and honor are just in the left hand. They're just there. You know, but you're seeking understanding, wisdom. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're seeking, we're finding, we're sowing, we're choosing life, and we're seeking God in some of these different areas. And so what happens then in this planting process as you're seeking life, we bunk up against these things, but there's an argument going in my heart. You know, you might even got free from something, but something new comes up. Well, I'm not going to let it steal my delighting from the law of the Lord. Finding out what the law of the Lord says about some of those things and going back. So there's an investing. What are we saying? There's an investing in the Spirit as we're choosing life. There's an investing in life. So, but there's also this, what I'm just calling experiencing life too. We've kind of touched on it a little bit, but we're gonna see how Jesus defines life. Jesus spoke these words. This is his John 17, prayer of unity. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you've given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you've given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ, knowing God. It is a knowing relationship with God. This is another way John puts it here in his epistle. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we invest in life, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we really are living and walking in the light as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another. So this is what I want to really get down to, because a lot of times when we're talking about sowing, or choosing life and getting free from different things like that, there is a getting free, there's a sowing, there's a reaping, but there's an experiencing life. And that life, like we said, it can manifest as joy, it can manifest as peace, it can manifest, but the ultimate manifestation of that life is fellowship with God. In other words, you're talking to God again, and you know he's hearing you, and you're listening to what he's saying. Fellowship with God. When you're, this is ultimately what happens. What is eternal life? To know Jesus Christ, to fellowship with him. And you see what happens? The blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. We're walking in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. We're walking in a place of righteousness with him. Now he says, if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It's like what we were saying before. I don't reap according to what I get caught sowing. I reap according to what I sow. So if I say I have fellowship with him, but I'm sowing, bad stuff, I'm still going to end up walking in darkness, whether I ever get caught or not. So we realize there's no, what the scripture says, you can't mock God, in other words. There's no getting around that. It's going to be true. This is about us being truly honest with ourselves. But he says, but if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, we've all experienced it. If you've been a Christian for very long, you know what it's like to walk in fellowship with God. You know what it's like to not be in fellowship with God, okay? If I'm not in fellowship with God, I don't lose my righteousness. I don't lose my status as a child of God. I don't lose my salvation. But something that I do lose is fellowship. There's a cost of fellowship. In other words, I'm a Christian. I love God. But instead of being strong in the Lord, my flesh is dominating me, and I'm kind of out here guessing again, all right? When we're talking about choosing life, the experiencing of life is, yeah, God's going to get you free from that thing or from that bitterness or that addiction or that thing, but ultimately what he's going to get you, he's going to get you walking with him again. He wants to get you in fellowship with him. He wants to get you to where you are, where you're writing things down again, where you're hearing what he has to say. This is what God desires. This is what we lost in the garden, ultimately. Fellowship with God. Just being able to get up every day and say, good morning, Lord. I love you. Praise God. In fact, that's kind of the way I'll kind of structure my day. I'll tend to structure it around the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of a template. I'll say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I'll say, good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And engage that on some levels as I just show my appreciation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Good morning, new creation. Good morning, physical body. I'm aware of you. New creation. I'm a new creation. I see you. I am you. Created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm putting on that new man today. Praise God. Like I said, the body, I talk to my body and say, yeah, body, I see you. You're going to do the will of God in the earth today. I'm going to yield you as an instrument of righteousness in the earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Father God, I thank you for your provision, your direction, for your guidance, Father, and how I choose to use my time. I thank you for another day that I can labor and work with my hands and to do things that are fruitful for the kingdom of God. Forgive us our trespasses. And that's where I'll kind of go down and say, Lord, if there's something I've done wrong, I receive forgiveness, cleansing. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and what the scripture says in Colossians 3:12, it says, therefore is the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So this is my point in prayer where I have to get to where I can say I have no complaints before I go on. What am I doing? I'm waking up in fellowship with God this morning. I'm clearing some of these areas of my heart. And so I'm just saying, okay, Lord, I'm doing it. I put on, you know, that tender mercies. I can't do this in my own strength, right? The love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit so that I can forgive, so that I have the grace to do what God's called me to do to forgive. So I'm forgiven by faith. Where I'm saying, okay, Lord, that's it. No complaints. You know, thy kingdom come, or it's lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's where I'm going to say, okay, if there's any cares that I have to cast, I'm going to cast my cares. If there's any requests that I have, I'm going to let them be made known. So if there's things I need, I'm letting my requests be made known. If there's cares I have, that's where I'm going to cast them on the Lord. So I go into my day with anything that I know I need, prayed out, you know, beforehand. If there's anything that's bothering me, fear, anxiety, something that's going to happen later in the day, that's it, you know. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. I'm praying that I don't enter into temptation. I'm proactively getting ahead of things and just getting my heart clear. And for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And you can finish that off. And sometimes if you've got some scriptures that God has been dealing with you on, I'm telling you what, there is power in getting a passage of scripture and meditating on it day after day after day. This is not a religious exercise. This is something the Holy Spirit shows you and you make it yours. That scripture can be so yours. It's like you're sharing it with everybody else. It's so much a part of you. It's like, that's my word. That's the word God gave me. And I've got scriptures like that, that God will put in your heart. And every morning, you make that part of your morning routine. I'm just going to get into that word. I'm going to let that word get into me. Sometimes it can just be, you know, one of the passages I do love in 1 Timothy 6, where it says, you know, flee these things. Oh, man, we've got to follow after, you know, righteousness, you know, godliness, love, faith, patience, gentleness. You know, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I'm consciously aware that today I'm going to have resistance. I got good things in my heart, but I'm going to have things that are not going to agree with my faith today. There's going to be a trial, and I'm choosing ahead of time. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm being proactive. The joy that I have in Him is fellowship with Him, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. So when I'm receiving the grace of God as it relates to, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, I'm closing out with a scripture or something that I'm stirring myself up. There is power in the word of God. It is living and powerful. And I'm telling you what, is when you get that word on the inside of you, what it does is it just activates the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Once the purposes of the Holy Ghost was sent is to lead and guide you into all truth. And when you just say something out of the Word of God, let's just take a look at a couple things. Here's something true. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, whether you're feeling power, whether you're feeling love, whether you have soundness of mind, if you're truly a born-again Christian and you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, there's going to be a witness. That's true. That's true. Even if I'm not there yet, even if I'm not walking in it, there's a witness. That's true. That's true. And so when we're talking about experiencing life, man, that life is in the Word of God. That life is in the Word. And so as you begin to declare the Word of God, you let the witness of the Spirit come alive on the inside. Why is that important? Because the same Spirit that can bear witness that's true can also bear witness whether you should take that job or enter that relationship or do this or do that. You're activating fellowship, you're activating a sense of the witness of the Spirit of God. That's why there's power in it. You know, Jesus said that when you pray, He said, don't be on the street corners. He said, you go into that private little place. You're not praying to be seen of men. You're going into that private little place, and then God will reward you openly. All right? When you wake up in the morning, you are not Superman, you are Clark Kent. And you go in that prayer place. All right, and then He will charge you up. He will strengthen you by the power of the Spirit of God. And then you go out and do what God has called you to do. And that's why it's very important to realize, too, that you're not going to just be feeling like Superman all the time. Even when you're walking and following after life, there are going to be seasons of sowing and reaping that you're going to do. You're going to get into a season of being free, and then what happens? God will prune you that you may bear more fruit. Like we said, he can prune that fourth cinnamon roll, and then he'll prune the third cinnamon roll, you know, and he'll begin to work on you and begin to challenge you in some different areas of your life. We thought, I thought I could never be free from that. He can have you just walk off something in a second that has bound you for 20, 30 years. In a moment, you can walk off and go, wow, I've been trying to figure out for years and years. And the power of the Spirit can just separate you in a moment of time. It's like, wow, I can't believe that thing ever even had a hold on me. There's an experiencing of life. When you get walking with God and you begin to believe him and you begin to experience this fellowship with him, all of a sudden he can put ideas by the Spirit in your mind. You know, there's places that you are that you can't even conceive yourself being free. He will take you again, cinnamon roll by cinnamon roll. He will take you into a place where you can perceive it and you can see it. And all of a sudden you realize, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I can glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are his. There's revelation stuff that happens here where you experience that life. And that life is, wow, that life is everything. That is what Jesus said. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The life of the Spirit of God. And so this morning, I just really wanted to talk and minister along the lines of choosing life, to realize there is an intentionality, there's an investing side of life where I'm going to absolutely, you know, intentionally sow, set my mind on the things above, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, different forms, different ways. But then there's going to be an experiencing side to that life. But it's important to understand that Christianity was not meant to be lived out in a classroom. It was meant to be lived out in a personal walk with you and Jesus. It was meant to be lived out in fellowship. It's meant to be lived out in your relationship with God. Now, he put us in a body. We need the body of Christ. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the day approaching. Well, if you got eyes to see, you can see the day is approaching. We need each other. We need to be connected. We need the body of Christ. And we've kind of talked about that a few weeks ago, about just precious Christian relationships that God gives us. But at the same time, you got to realize this walk with God is so amazing. It is so powerful. And as intimate as you can feel with, you know, the dark stuff and the negative stuff, there is a Holy Spirit, praise God, that can get deeper, is deeper in your spirit and can separate you from all that stuff. He can cause you to experience life. But it starts out with just choosing, I'm going to start planting. I'm going to start sowing. I'm not going to start out with, you know, a big bolt of lightning experience from the sky. I'm just going to start out by faith, Lord, setting my mind on things above. I'm just going to start out by setting, and whatever that means, you know, let the Holy Spirit begin to show you what that is. Sometimes just a book of the Bible too. You just begin to work through it, you know, a chapter at a time or a verse at a time, walking through things. You're just beginning to stir up the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we have the ability to choose life. Oh, and it's a beautiful thing, Lord, that you work in us individually, Lord, and you lead and guide us by your Spirit. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I choose today to invest in life. Your word is living. It is powerful. I put that seed into my mind, and I let your Holy Spirit give life to your word. I want to walk in fellowship. I want to experience your life. I want to talk to you, Lord, and hear your sweet voice talking back to me as your dear child. You are greater than he that's in this world. You are greater than all my stuff. And I choose today to look to you and allow the sweet Holy Spirit to take me by the hand and step by step walk in your freedom, walk in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. And again, I've found in my life just real breakthroughs and stuff like that. It is a wonderful, sweet walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some scriptures that the Lord will work in your heart, and it's like they'll be a dear friend to you for the rest of your life because the Holy Spirit drew you to a certain scripture, a certain passage that he just used to walk you and make you free in some different areas. Praise God.